Rewriting the Future. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campbell, California. Rewriting the Future. Now, the monks here at the monastery, they read that title and they thought to themselves, well, now what is he going to do now? Mm-hmm. He did rewriting the past, and that was a little different than we expected. But rewriting the future, what's that all about? The future hasn't even come yet. Well, the future hasn't come because you are not living in the present. So long as you live in the past, the future naturally cannot be here. Now, how do you rewrite the future? How do you rewrite living in the future? By living in the exact moment now. By living in the now. Because what does it mean to live in the now? See, everybody thinks they have the answer. What does it mean to live in the now? Well, it is done. There's nothing more to be done. There's nothing more to be accomplished. It's done. Now, when you say that you're going to rewrite the future and you're not even living in the now, you can't rewrite the future. So, let's look at what the future might be for some of our thinking. The future is our dream. The future is our desire. The future is our want, our need, our lust, the thing that we would like so much to have in our world. The future is all of the imagination we've ever had taking us to all these places in the universe and all these concepts that we ever could have. Wouldn't it be nice to go to Paris? Wouldn't it be nice to see China? Wouldn't it be nice to finish writing the book that I started? Wouldn't it be nice to have more friends? Wouldn't it be nice to go skiing today? Wouldn't it be nice? You see, now all these wouldn't it be nice, you say, those are sort of ordinary. Yes, so let's start with the ordinary. Wouldn't it be nice to be a spiritual master? Well, until you can recognize that you are all things that you think about in your consciousness right now, the role of a spiritual master is a little down the road for you. It's not out of the picture, it's just down the road, because you haven't learned how to roll up the road. Now, rewriting the future is rolling up the road. What you're doing is you are living in the now, and everything is in the now. So when you see in the future, which is living in the now, that you made a bad turn, you made a wrong turn, you made a turn in your thinking that wasn't beneficial, or that something sounded so very good, sounds so very real and wonderful to you, that you thought to yourself, wow, wouldn't that be great? And then you followed it and you found out that it wasn't for you. Wouldn't it be nice to turn back the pages of time and not have that be in your world? Well, that's the wonderful thing about living in the now. Because when you live in the now, you don't have dreams of the future. You're living the future right now. You don't have dreams of the past, you're living the past right now. You don't have dreams of the present, you're living the present right now. Now is timeless, neither past, present, or future. Now, what does that have to do with rewriting the future? What does that have to do with rewriting the future when you're talking about something that you would not like to experience? Well, if you, for instance, didn't want to experience an unhappy relationship, what is it that you don't want to experience? You don't want to experience the unhappy relationship. You don't want to experience the other person that is in that relationship. You don't want to experience the unhappiness of it, the emotions of it, the feelings of it. Or would you like to experience any relationship you're in, with a friend or a lover or whoever it may be, would you like any relationship you're in to be a happy one? Okay, then right now is where you make the future your reality. Right now you live in a happy relationship. Right now, right now you live with a person. You do not think about what they do right or what they do wrong. You only think about what makes you happy. And when you're thinking about what makes you happy, then your world is filled with what makes you happy because you're living in the now. So if in the future that person is going to do something that's going to make you unhappy, they don't exist. They only exist in the now. And so if you have a happy attitude now and a happy thought about yourself now and you're totally happy, they have no power in your world to be unhappy. They have no potential of doing anything different than what you are in the now. And so if in the now you are able to build up your thought, build up your attitude, build up your desire for yourself as a happy thing, then this is your world. We know people who are happy. And we say either they're stupid or they're an idiot, you know. Because an idiot is not touched by anything that goes on around him. He creates his own happiness. And a stupid person is not touched by what goes on around them. They create their own happiness. A stupid person is not touched by what goes on around them. They create their own happiness. A stupid person? Now, that's what you think is stupid, is a person who is not touched by it. Don't you realize the dam is going to break and that this is going to happen? Well, see, you're a stupid person because you don't realize that. But you are, I was saying in yourself, all is in divine order. Now, if you're saying all is in divine order, you mean all is in divine order. The dam will not break unless you doubt it. Unless you really are not the creator of your future and your present and your past. You see, if you live in the now, the dam's not broken. The dam doesn't have to be broken. Nothing has to be bad. Nothing has to be untoward in your experience. Nothing. Unless you give it the power by your thought in the now that it is so. Now, most people don't experience a lot of problems that go on in the world. And this is very true. Most people think that problems are somebody else's. And it's true. I read a story about a woman who was suffering from cancer, and she was quite a remarkable lady, and the cancer was just eating up on her, and there was nothing that they could do about it. There was no medicine they could give her, no help they could give her, and she lived in Seattle. And so she programmed having the Death with Dignity program, where you can take a pill and exit. And so what she did was the medicine that she was taking, all the things that she was taking were pretty serious. And so she stopped taking her oxygen. She stopped taking her pills. She stopped taking everything at one time in the day. And then she invited all of her family in, children and her children's children and all that sort of thing. She invited them all in, and they gathered around her, and they played games. They didn't know what she had in mind. And they played games, and they just had a good time. And she played with them, and every time she'd laugh, there's a big tumor in her chest which was eating her up, and the cancer was there. And she was really in great pain. But every time she'd laugh, and she laughed, the pain was so great. And no oxygen to help her. So she was with the family for a considerable time, maybe an hour. And she hugged everybody and kissed everybody and said, well, time for me to go to bed now. And so she went to bed. And she was unstable, but her daughter helped her. Her daughter knew what was coming next. And so the next morning, she was going to take the pill. But she wanted to say goodbye to her family. She wanted to have the farewell that was important to her and to them, she felt. And then she took the pill in the morning. And she just passed away. All of the pain and all of the anxiety and everything. Now, she didn't have to do that. She didn't have to take the pill. She didn't have to take the pain. She didn't have to have the cancer. Now, you say, well, Herb, what about when we have problems and we're supposed to be so spiritually illumined and stuff like that? Hey, it has nothing to do with it. What we think spiritually illumined doesn't mean a thing. The only thing that means a thing is what's our attitude about the now? What's our attitude about the here and the now? Do you ever think anybody else is doing something wrong? Do you ever think that you're doing something wrong? Do you ever think that there are things that you've left undone? Do you ever think that there are things that you could do better if you had just given them a little more attention? Well, you're not there. Because when you're there, you don't have those feelings. You don't have those attitudes that you're incomplete. Because you have learned to live in the now. Now, it's terrible to say this about, but if this lady, and me too, I mean, when I live in the now, I too will have that same perfection and so forth. But if she were living in the now, and she would say to herself, I'm whole and perfect, she would be whole and perfect in the now. But this was built up over years and years of pain and research and x-rays and all of that stuff, telling her what her problem is, telling her what's going on, and telling her how terrible it is, and so forth, and her husband feeling so sad about it for her, and things like that, and her daughter feeling so crushed by the fact that she was going to die, that she was terminal, and then the doctors finally said, now, I'm going to give you 6 months to go. And at the end of that 6 months, you're history, you know. And so the pain just got worse and worse. And she wanted to cut out. Now, there's nothing wrong with what she did. There's nothing wrong. Every death, whether it's at the time where we have no control or at a time when we have a control, every death is a suicide. So we get over that hurdle. And we can do with whatever we want. You're doing what you want with your body. You're doing exactly what you want. You're eating things that you know are not good for you. And you're eating things that are good for you. You're drinking things that are not good for you, and you're drinking things that are good for you. Now, why in the world are you doing something that's not good for you? Well, it tastes so good, you know. That ice cream is so good. Well, that ice cream is just filled with sugar and stuff like that, which is not beneficial to the body. The body has the pancreas, the body has the stuff in it that create sugar out of the food that we eat. And we have more sugar in our body than we know what to do with. And we have more of everything else in our body, because our body takes ordinary foods, which are nothing, and manufactures out of that whatever our body needs. But no, we have to go and have all these sweet stuff. Or we have to go and have some alcohol. We have to go and have some white bread, which we know is just totally contrary to our best health. And Ellen Eve goes buys a loaf of white bread, which she knows is not good for our health. And she wants to have this white bread because it makes wonderful toasted cheese sandwiches, you know. And hey, cool. Now, if I said to Ellen, toasted cheese sandwiches on white bread are not too good for you, she'll say, well, it tastes so good. I say, Ellen, here's a gun. Put the thing to your head and pull the trigger. And she, well, I'll kill myself. Well, it's just for a moment it'd be a shock. But man, what a thrill. Ha! You know, boom! You know, your whole brain says, bah! You know, and it's over with. And you don't have anything more to worry about. And nobody cares if you eat white bread after that, you know.
Even not now.
But the big thing is, none of these things should affect us. It's not what goes into the mouth, but what comes out of it.
I like that one.
Ellen says she likes that one. But the big thing is, it's not what goes in the mouth, what comes out. The big thing is, it is our attitude. Our attitude in the now. Now, do you think that this is going to put weight on for you? Do you think this is going to make you skinny? Do you think that this is going to make you not thirsty when you drink it, when you drink the water or whatever? Do you think this is going to make you thirsty when you eat some dry stuff, you know? And whatever you think. And your body is majority of water. You don't have to be thirsty at any time. We don't have to, but you see, the things that I am teaching are totally sacrilegious. They're totally against the established community, totally against whatever, and yet everybody knows it. Everybody knows, the scientists know it, the established community knows it, and everybody knows it, but to practice it. We're learning how to do that. To practice it means that you put the cause in motion. You live in the here and the now. You are anyhow. But why not purposefully, consciously live in the here and now? Not think of a tomorrow, not think of a yesterday, but only think of the now, which is not bad. But when you think and live in the here and the now, then there are no problems. You can't get fat because you are what you are, and everything is right now. You can't get skinny because you are what you are, what you are right now. You can't do anything. You can only be yourself. And when you are yourself, everything falls into perfect right order. Now, who is yourself? That's a good question for all of us. Who is ourself? Are we the thoughts of our race consciousness? Many people feel they are. Are we the Darwinian theory, you know? Or are we the theory of evolution? Are we the theory of accidental creation? Are we the theory of any of these things? They all sound so great. Or are we the theory of a God on cloud nine? Very interesting. Very interesting. We are all sorts of wonderful things, and yet we are none of them, because we are all of them. And the moment we think we are any of them, we are none of them. The moment we think we're all of them, we are none of them. And as the moment we think we are none of them, we are all of them. Do you realize that? And this is why religious people, saints and what have you, are so successful. Because they think they're nothing. And yet they know in their heart they're everything. They do not aspire toward anything outside of themselves. They just live from their inner path. And you see, the wonderful thing is that you're not there. None of us are on the inside of anybody else. We don't know what kind of a path they're walking, what kind of a life they're living. We look at them and we say, they look very pious, you know. We look at them and we say, they look very peaceful. But you're not inside of them. You're not, you don't have the vaguest idea what goes. Until you live in the now and the here, right now, for yourself, and until you feel at peace with yourself, until you feel a certain joy and a bliss in your heart. You see, the saints, if we can say the saints, but these people who have walked these spiritual paths in a very wonderful way, they are very unusual. Because they don't care what the monastery says. They don't care what the Pope says. They don't care what the church says. They don't care what their neighbors say or what the other priests say in their, monks say in their presence. They don't care. They are themselves. The story of Brother Lawrence doing everything for Jesus, you can see, it would have driven the other monks mad. Yeah, you know. I'm doing this for Jesus. Well, would you get out of my way? But I'm scrubbing the floor for Jesus, you know. And they didn't know that he was living his own life and that he was at the center of his own beingness and that he was living from the divine center within him, which is quite something. And we all want to say he was, you know, limited. Well, let us say with dignity and with humility, we should be so good to live like he did, to have that inner peace that he surely had, to have that inner bliss that he knew. Now, he was doing something right. He was doing his own thing, you know? He was walking his own path. He was not trying to live for others. For Jesus, yes, but that was a very noble idea that he was living for. He was living for Jesus. And as far as we would see it today, we would say he was living for himself. Because in truth he was. Mother Teresa, she didn't go around being nice to all these people who were sick and stuff like that because these people were sick and needed to be nice to them. That was her nature. Mm-hmm. That was Mother Teresa. Jesus didn't go out and preach and teach and heal and raise the dead and stuff like that because he wanted God to like him. That was just his nature. Mm-hmm. Any person who follows their inner path, whatever that may be, is following their nature. If I can use the word nature, meaning living in the now, being themselves now, not being touched by the outer world, and not being concerned about a dam bursting, you know. Mm-hmm. Recognizing that right now, all is in divine order. Right now, all is perfect. Right now, all is at peace. And that's pretty darn good, you know that? Pretty darn good. So, can you rewrite the future? And you rewrite the future by living in the now right here. And you thought I was going to give you some other interesting ideas on it. But that's the idea. Mm-hmm. Because when you live in the now, the future is the now, the past is the now, and the present is the now. And you have rewritten it all. Because there's no two bees who come. There is no hope. There is no desire. There's no wish, no want. There is only the now, and it's a wonderful time. I love you, and have a wonderful evening.